Coming to you from Cary, North Carolina, and Jackson, Michigan, it's the Get Options Podcast with your hosts Adam Silver and Kyle Maurer. This is the show where your WordPress questions are given some serious and not so serious options. And here they are.
Why, hello, and welcome to episode 55 of the Function Get Option Podcast, the irreverent, fun advice show about your life with WordPress. I'm Adam with my buddy, my co-patriot, my good guy, Mr. Kyle Maurer. Say hi, Kyle.
Hi, Kyle.
Hi, Adam. Hi, Kyle. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you today?
I'm good, and I want to give an update to that that opening segment, because when it said that you were, I'm in Cary and you are in Jackson, you are actually not in Jackson right now.
What?
Why don't you tell the audience where you are?
I don't know. Where am I? Tell me.
Ah! You tell me.
I'm in Cary, North Carolina right now.
Yes, this is true. You got one on me. You surprised me after WordCamp Dayton. Apparently, you drove down to North Carolina on your way down to South Carolina, and you knocked on the door this morning, rang the bell, and here you are in the studio with
That's
me.
Right.
My studio.
That's right.
Yeah.
Loyal listeners of the show will know that we did a predictions episode at the beginning of the year, and I said specifically, I'm going to get you.
Yeah.
I'm getting you. 2018 is the year that you will not even see it coming.
So you are I'm up though, 2-1.
I don't know. I don't know.
I got Boston. I got Ann Arbor last year.
Oh, in that sense, yes. But this was more unexpected.
Yeah, it was well played. So you are here. There goes my day.
Yeah.
So it's okay. So we're running, actually recording about an hour late, and you actually started off early this morning like, hey, I need 5 more minutes. And then like 5 more minutes. I'm like, okay. And I told Ellen, yeah, Kyle's running late. And Ellen's like, he runs late a lot.
come on, give me a break.
And then the doorbell rings and the baby Abigail is on my doorstep, and I saw you kind of run around the corner. I recognized the back of your shirt. That was kind of funny. So
I'm not fast enough.
I had to then find cables and another microphone to set you up here. Anyway. So yeah,
still a good surprise.
And then of course I FaceTime Dustin real quick. I'm like, hey, I was gonna do a show with you, and I said, but guess who's here? And he obviously knew.
Yeah.
He had a heads up on it.
I think everybody except you knew.
And Ellen.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. I thought about bringing Ellen in on the secret.
And she would not be able to keep it.
Yeah.
No, actually, she probably would have.
I thought I might need to in the end, because I wanted to keep tabs on you, make sure I knew where you were, figure out your address. But I ended up figuring out all the information on my own, so I didn't need to bring Ellen in.
How did you get the address? I mean, do you have it because I moved?
No.
It wasn't that.
I'm sly.
Yeah.
Right? We were having a conversation and you were showing me properties in your area.
Yeah.
You were talking a little bit about your house. And
you saved
comparing
it.
Your yeah. house, and I was like, you know, what's your address? And you gave it to me.
Dang it.
I told Ash, like, score. I got it. That was easy.
Yeah.
He didn't even suspect.
All right. What's your what else is going on since since we talked like 3 days ago and like last night and yesterday and whatever?
We had a fun drive.
Yeah.
From Dayton to North Carolina. The reason really this fit into our schedule is because in a couple days we're going to South Carolina. My youngest brother is graduating from basic training. Mm. He's a Marine now.
Wow.
He made it through. And we're going to go attend that with some other members of my family. A few of them are flying. Some others are driving. It'll be a big family thing. We'll spend a few days there in South Carolina. And this was on the way. So Ash and I thought, like, let's sneak in.
Let's get the silvers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yesterday was a long drive. The longest drive we've done with the baby since we've had her.
Right.
And we were a little nervous about it, but it went pretty
well. It was a long drive just by myself. It was like 7.5 hours. And then through the rainstorms of Virginia and North Carolina
mm-hmm.
yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was really something. You kept trying to FaceTime me.
Yeah.
And there were a couple of times I didn't answer because I couldn't explain where I was without lying.
Well, because you actually said something, you wrote back like, you know, back at, you're in meetings, you know, no
I
rest.
I did have a meeting.
No rest for the wicked.
Right.
I'm like, okay, so he's back at home. Cause it was a 3-hour drive for you to go north.
Yep.
So I figured you left at, you know, 9. I think I tried to FaceTime you at noon when I was having lunch in the, you know, at a gas station or whatever, you know, my salad. And you were like, no, I'm busy. I'm like, okay, no biggie. Didn't think anything of it. And then, yep. Yeah.
Yeah, a couple of the other times.
What would you have done if I tried to FaceTime you last night when you texted me about this show, about prepping for this?
I wouldn't have answered.
True. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So what? Anything else going on?
No.
You still prepping on speeches?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
absolutely. Okay. I've got a good start on my keynote presentation for WordCamp Kent. I like, I'm happy with the message that I'm going to try and convey and a couple of the stories that I feel like fit into that message.
Are you still going to do it in Latin?
It might just be partially, maybe like a Pig Latin sort of variant.
Pig Latin makes more sense for you,
actually.
Yeah.
But it's really coming together.
Cool.
I think it's going to be nice, but it still needs a lot of work, a lot of practice.
Okay. Awesome. All right. Yeah, I have nothing to really update at the moment, just because we're recording this, in a sense, so early ahead of schedule, whatnot. So as far as update to my life, just trying to, you know, actually, I am actually looking this week to find some new developers, because I have a few people leaving me, you know, just life changes and stuff, which is fine. So if you're looking for a job, part-time work, and you're a developer, PHP, Infusionsoft, Beaver Builder, those things, let me know.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I might know some people.
Okay. Thanks. All right. That's it for that section. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of news. Let's talk about it.
This is the point at which we do talk about everything that's new. Woo-hoo.
Yeah. So so this came out, like, I saw literally last night, and I thought this was amazing, and I sent it to you. You're like, yeah, this is newsworthy.
Totally.
Adobe acquires Magento for $1.68 billion.
Crazy.
Crazy. That's amazing. It.
Yeah.
Does that affect your life at all?
A little bit. I mean, Magento is an e-commerce platform.
Right.
I work, the main product that I work on is an e-commerce platform.
Right.
Not direct alternatives, but they are. Magento, I would consider a competitor of Easy Digital Downloads in somewhat of an indirect way.
Mm-hmm.
And e-commerce is what we're all about.
Right.
So we're closely watching everything that happens in e-commerce. And this is the sort of thing that happens a lot. E-commerce platforms get acquired.
Do you think Pippin is kicking himself in the backside because he passed on the 1.5 million that they billion that they offered him for EDD? Because, I mean, that's what it was. Adobe offered to buy all of Pippin's stuff for like 1.5 billion.
Yeah. I mean, if you just knew what we were working on and the potential that we have, that's nothing.
So you are going to be the Magento killer?
Right.
I mean, do you remember any of those, like, those the WordPress killers, like, you know, the replace, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. No, obviously.
Although they would be.
I'm pretty sure Pippin would take that acquisition for $1.5 billion.
Mm, I'm not going to speak on his behalf.
Okay.
But,
I will. And I'm his agent on this.
There's a lot of e-commerce platforms getting acquired.
Yeah.
It's kind of a thing. Like, well, just recently, Square acquired Weebly. Well, it's not an e-commerce platform, but together.
Oh, right. E-commerce. Square. When you said Square, I went to Squarespace. I'm like, what? Oh, yeah, right. Square.
Square should have acquired Squarespace, honestly.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, I read the information. There'll be a link in the show notes. It makes sense for Adobe because they have Muse as far as their web publishing platform. They have all the graphics. They have the content creation tools. And now they have a way for people to kind of connect those dots. And I mean, I'm surprised that Magento that much money. I didn't realize it was that valuable.
Magento's pretty big, but Magento's like a little more upscale.
Yeah, because
of a platform.
One of the things I read about is this will help
more
Adobe
enterprise.
Exactly. It'll help Adobe compete with like Salesforce.
Mm-hmm.
And my buddy Damon works at Salesforce, and so Salesforce is like a $150 billion annual company. I mean, like, they just do amazing numbers.
I'm not sure if it's that.
Hold on. You know, it's up there. I'm gonna see something. I read it in here.
It's a lot of billions, but.
Yeah, 10. Okay, you're right. So yeah. Salesforce is the 10,000-pound gorilla in the space with revenue across its various clouds reaching more than $8 billion. You're right.
Okay.
The company's on a run rate to exceed $10 billion this year. It set a long-term company goal to hit $60 billion by 2034. Okay, so still, $8 billion, $10 billion. I mean, you're right, not $100 billion.
We've seen WooCommerce get acquired by Automattic.
Right.
And there have been others, like Salesforce itself acquired an e-commerce platform called CloudCraze.
Yeah.
Walmart bought Flipkart. Alibaba bought Daraz.
Right. It's amazing like that. Yeah. So what you need to do is come up with the next thing to be acquired.
Yeah. Basically, if you're an established e-commerce platform, you are getting
contacted. Just had a new idea. We need a sound effect. Oh, yeah. Actually, how about this one? Never mind. I don't know where the sound effects went for this one.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. But I was going to say my new e-commerce platform is going to be called ADD. Adams. Digital. I don't know what it said, but it's ad.
Darkiness.
Wow. So you get it like ad added up.
Divisive.
Adams.
Dragons.
Digital. I don't know.
Delete. Dolly.
We should just let that go.
Okay.
Anyway, so that's one of the pieces of news. I think it's interesting. I mean, that's a lot of money.
It is. And I'm wondering what it means for, like, with just continuing to watch this, I'm thinking of it just as a trend.
Right.
Like e-commerce platforms and like the big players. We're talking Alibaba and Walmart and hosting companies and Adobe and Salesforce, like all the big players in like the online market. All of them are like, how can we add e-commerce to the mix? What can we acquire or build ourselves to be a player in the e-commerce space? So all of them are looking or actively doing that right now. No, like no exceptions.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, yeah, I just wish it was my idea. I wish I was the age. I was like the somehow connected to that.
Start an e-commerce platform.
Yeah, I'm calling it ADD.
Oh.
ADD. Ad. Yeah. All right. What else? Also in the news is ServerPress released Desktop Server 3.9.1.
Yeah.
This is very important.
Looks like a great release.
It is. I actually helped beta test it and helped run it through some paces when it was 3.9. And they did the 3.9 never released by itself. They went 3.9.1 because they wanted PHP 7 in there. And that was the last little bit. And also local SSL. And I gave them some feedback on... there were some other little things. I forgot what it was, but the way it was, the interface, I gave Greg Franklin, a friend of the show, some information as well. Just user experience and some errors and stuff that came up, but I helped beta test a couple things on that. It was cool.
Yeah.
So check that out. Link in the show notes. Anything else you want to mention on that?
I think that the release, you mentioned some of the cool features, but the design time plugins feature also looks really good.
Right.
I'm really excited about that. Design time plugins is now built into Desktop Server, and it is a feature which allows you to drop a WordPress plugin into a specific directory of your desktop server installation, not the WordPress one. And those plugins will become available in that startup screen. Mm-hmm. If you're familiar with using Desktop Server, when you go to boot up your sites, you get a series of checkboxes of like which plugins and things do you want to enable, including like one-click login or airplane mode, and there's a couple others.
Right.
So you can add your own to that list so that they will be globally enabled for all of your desktop server sites.
Right.
Which I really love. There are a number of plugins that I use, like User Switching and Query Monitor and Debug Bar and mm-hmm. some other little kind of troubleshooting debugging plugins, which I want enabled on like every local install, no exception. And I also want them to not be deployed to a live production site because they're only useful on my testing sandbox,
right.
Which is the purpose of this feature. I really like it.
Yeah.
Big fan.
Yep.
Big fan.
Big fan. All right. So I think that's it in the news. Moving on to, I closed the wrong window. So changes, we're not going to play the bumper because we don't know anyone who's made a move in the last 10 days.
Right. We're recording a lot in succession.
So moving right along past that, of course, it's now time for...
What you wearing, what you're reading, what you're drinking now. What you wearing, what you're reading, what you're drinking now.
That's right. What you're wearing, what you're drinking, what you're reading now. So I'll go first. So I'm wearing a new shirt I picked up at WordCamp Dayton. Mm,
looks good.
It's the one that you had on a couple weeks ago.
Right.
It's not the same shirt, though. I mean, we have our own copies of the shirt. So what's the name of the company, though, on the back?
It's Host Duplex.
Host Duplex, and it's the graphics of the floppy, the 3.5, the Omega, the flash drive, the micro SD, and then the cloud.
Wow.
I knew it
by
heart. I didn't even look down.
That is really good. I'm impressed.
Thank you. Yeah. It's scary that I have so much useless information in my head. I'm drinking coffee out of my WordCamp Maui mug, and I'm still reading at this point, whatever I was reading last week.
Yeah.
Thinking Fast and Slow.
Sounds like a good book. I'm proudly supporting a Restrict Content Pro t-shirt, which apparently gave me away for my surprise this morning. You saw the t-shirt and knew it was me.
Yeah. Well, there's not that many people like my height who run, who have that stride that run around the corner from my front yard to, and leave a baby on the corner on the stoop.
Yeah, that narrows it down, I guess. Yeah, I'm not drinking anything.
No, you're not.
I'm really thirsty.
Sorry.
Waiting.
Wait, there's no water here in North Carolina.
Dang it. No,
there's some out in the street. Yeah. Do you want me to get you something real quick? Hit pause.
You moved from the desert to here.
It's green here. Yeah. And what are you reading? Nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
At this point, nothing.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Okay.
Reading
okay.
Maps.
Hey, Kyle, do you know what time it is?
Is it time to get up and dance to an awesome transition tune?
Yep. That's right, people. It's time. You sent them in. We read them. We researched them. And now it's time to give you some options.
Some options.
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 Yeah, options. 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 That's so bad. So we have two questions, and these are both audio questions this week, which is awesome. The first one is by Alex Gustafson. Because he told me how to say his name. It's Gust of Wind, but like Gust of Sun. So there you go. So, and then here's the first one from him.
Hi, this is Alex, and I was curious to know, if I feel at home in a text editor, should I still switch to an IDE like PHP Storm?
Okay, great question. And I think you probably have a couple more options than I might, because I do use one, but do you want to answer first option, or do you want me to give first option? You give first option.
Sure, yeah. I think it's just if you feel at home, you're getting too complacent and you need to change everything right now.
Wow. This is not vague rant up.
yeah. Get uncomfortable.
Oh, all right. That's an option.
Yeah. Get uncomfortable. That's how you grow.
I think that's the title of this episode, Get Uncomfortable. or Surprise Adam. Yeah. I think my option for you on this, Alex, is I think a better option would be if you use a 1978 Yellow Brother Charger 11 portable manual typewriter, then take that content, convert your code to punch cards, and enter those into a 1960s era IBM mainframe. From there, connect to Hayes modem using AT commands and transfer via Fetch or Gopher into your current system.
Wow.
Yeah.
Talk about speaking in Latin.
And knowing that I've used all those things.
What the heck are you talking about, Grandpa?
Yeah. All right. So do you want to real quick explain what an IDE stand, what it is and what it stands for?
IDE. Yes. I do everything.
Do you know what it actually stands for?
Yeah. Like your internal, your... In something I'm development giving, environment?
Close.
Integrated development environment.
Yes. Integrated development environment.
Why was I thinking internal? Anyway, yeah. Integrated development environment. Yeah, it's a program that you use typically for like your software projects. Mm-hmm. Writing code, a bunch of files. It's a project. Whereas a lot of us, you know, edit our code by just using text editing programs.
Such as
like Sublime Text.
Is that, that's not an IDE? You don't consider that an IDE?
Nope.
Because it's missing the FTP, SSH, and other stuff?
It's just a fancy, pretty looking text editor.
Interesting. Okay. Because I always thought that was like, see, I guess you're right. Text-based code editors are like Atom, ATOM, and right. Sublime Text.
Yeah.
So what's,
Coda might be just like a text editor.
Yeah. So PHP Storm is an IDE.
Mm-hmm. So right. NetBeans is too.
Oh, right. What are the feature sets that they have that the text editors don't?
IDEs are designed to think of a project as a project, not just a collection of files. They index the contents of each file.
Oh.
And the program itself gains an understanding of the project, the scope of the project. So you can tell a program like PHP Storm to index WordPress and Easy Digital Downloads if you want to. For example, that's something I do all the time. If I'm making like an Easy Digital Downloads extension, I say index WordPress and index EDD so that you understand the scope of this project and what, you know, sort of functions I'm using.
So does it actually have intelligence?
Kind of.
Okay. Well,
like it stores a ton more information with which it can help you as you develop. And IDEs can kind of also be all in one, and that they can have a lot of the features that you might otherwise be using from other programs. So if you're using a text-based editor, you might be also relying on other programs as well. You might have a Git client, or you might have a terminal open as well and running commands separately. But with an IDE, you might be able to do all or almost all of your functions within that interface.
I don't think I knew that. What do you use?
I use PHP Storm.
Okay. It's a paid for piece of software.
It is.
Okay.
You pay for like maybe an annual license, I think. And I'm a big fan. I've been using it for a few years now. Before that, I was using Sublime Text primarily. Mm-hmm. These are things that I just learned from smarter people than me.
Looks like I got to check out PHP Storm.
Yeah, it's pretty baller, honestly. I think some of the features that I love in PHP Storm are things like it has a terminal built in. So mm-hmm. just like a little pane within the same program, you can type in your command prompt commands. You know, it could be WP CLI stuff. It could be Git commands, maybe running your build tools or removing files and so forth. Version control features built into PHP Storm are really sophisticated. You can do all of your version control stuff just by typing commands into terminal if you want to, but there are some advantages to just using it within PHP Storm because some of it's quicker. Like I can just click on a button to like pull down any changes from the branch I'm on, or with a click I can just see all the available branches and just switch to one from the remote, and I can visualize all the changes that have been made when I'm making a commit, and you know, just describe my commit and just see which files were changed, and even check or uncheck some boxes of what I want to exclude from a commit. And merge conflicts. So dealing with a merge conflict is always hairy and painful. That's a scenario where you're using version control and you go to commit something to the branch that you're on, and there have been changes made to that branch by someone else, and there's a conflict between those two changes. Like, you both modified the same thing, and so you have to figure out which change to keep.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little bit tricky to deal with just by the command line, but in PHP Storm, you can visualize that. So you can get like these three panes where, one side is like what you did and one side is what someone else did. And you can like, you can just click like keep this one and
right.
not that.
Right. Makes That's, sense.
It makes it visual so, and so easy.
Right. You know, yeah. Yeah. It makes total sense.
There are the code hints are beautiful. This is why it indexes everything in the code bases, not just within your specific project, but within like other code bases that you're using.
Did you mention that at WordCamp Dayton in your hacks?
Right.
You
I was talking screenshot. A little bit about that. Just right. how I think that PHP Storm has made me a better developer by teaching me so many things. I've heard some other developers complain a little bit about thinking of it as like a crutch that you lean too much on.
I don't think if it gets the job done.
Yeah, I think that it has caught a lot of things, and maybe there's a danger of like relying on the program to catch your mistakes instead of thinking about it yourself. But I'm not a big believer in that being a serious problem. But when it has indexed the codes that the programs that you're using, it can hint things to you. It can tell you like if you're using a function improperly, or if you're providing a function with arguments that don't make sense or are the wrong value type. It will read inline documentation and tell you that like this is not expected. It will tell you this variable is not being used. It will tell you this file is not included anywhere, so it will never run. It will tell you this this condition doesn't make sense because it's impossible for it to be reached based on your logic. All those kinds of things hinting you along the way. And you know, I know that like when I'm coding, sometimes things change as I'm writing it. You know, I write out a function and then another function, and then I decide I'll modify how this works, and then I go back, and the next thing you know, I have a couple variables and maybe even a whole function that like aren't needed. And PHP Storm will like say, hey, you don't need this anymore. Or other little things like this. Or, hey, don't even run your program because it's going to crash, dude.
yeah. So you're giving, the option you're giving him is not to give up.
but to change careers,
but to actually give it a chance and try it out.
I like that. I do think it's worth trying out and experimenting. One of the things that I've observed is a lot of people spend a lot of time configuring and modding their text editors. Mm-hmm. Because something like Atom or Sublime Text, those have lots of plugins available for
right.
them. So a lot of the features that I just described for PHP Storm and many more, which probably don't have time to even describe, you can do a lot of that stuff in Sublime if you like install a plugin there. And the next thing you know, Sublime Text very much resembles an IDE because you installed all these cool plugins.
Right. Like little add-on packages, like Chrome stuff.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can modify it.
Yeah. And just a quick note, you can, I mean, obviously PHP Storm, it's $200 for the first year, $159 second year, and then $119 third year. So it comes down. So it's an investment. It, you know, that's how I look at it. It's always an investment, not an expense. But $200. There might be a coupon code. I don't know. We have no connection. I did notice it's written in Java, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. JetBrains is the company that makes it, and they make a bunch of other IDEs. PHP Storm is just one of them, but right. they have like a... JavaScript one and maybe a Ruby one. And,
right. So it's very cool.
It is.
Anything else you want to add?
I worry sometimes that a lot of us developers spend a little bit too much time just like configuring our setups.
Your tools.
Our tools. Sometimes it seems like we're spending more time doing that than actual work. I like it.
Hey, I won't tell Pippin.
Yeah. Well, Pippin's setup is pretty lean for what it's worth. But he might actually even be the only one on the team still not using PHP Storm.
Well, but how much does he get hands-on on code these days?
Enough.
Okay.
Enough.
All right.
Yeah. More than me.
Well, okay. Yeah. Okay.
But I worry about that. This is one of the reasons that I like PHP Storm, because it has everything that I need built in. It can hold my hand and guide me. help prevent me from making mistakes. It can make some of my development processes faster. It can help me like format things in an intelligent way. And I don't need to spend a whole lot of time like thinking about what features I want because they're already there. Mm-hmm. So I do more time, I spend more time working and a heck of a lot less time configuring my setup.
Right.
Cool. I don't like that. Yeah.
Okay. Good question. And I think a, a great option of yours. Mine, probably not ideal.
I don't know. People may differ with that opinion, but thank you, Alex, for the great question.
Thank you. All right. Moving on to the second question. It's also an audio one. We'll play it now.
Why is Adam so much better looking right now?
So if you didn't quite hear that, it said, this was from, was it Elizabeth?
Yes.
From WordCamp Dayton. Why is Adam so much better looking? Mm. And the baby in the background, I believe, was Abigail.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that kid always makes noise right when you're asking questions. Every time.
She does.
So
she's so cute.
So I have an answer. I have a few options of why I am so much better looking.
I went first, last question. So
I'll go first. Okay. Yeah. So first and foremost, shucks. Thanks, Elizabeth. I believe it's the options are my Eastern European genetics, the strong jaw covered by my manly beard, the deep, soulful brown eyes that I have, thanks to my father.
You're right.
My great sense of humor and my overall height. That's why I'm so much better looking. Okay. And what are your options? And I'm sure you're going to mention something about, go ahead. I'll just let you mention what you're going to mention.
No, I mean, I wasn't surprised by this question, but Elizabeth asked me this question.
Yeah, I know. It's just awkward.
She wasn't even trying to.
Would you mention me or Adam Warner? Now I'm concerned, a little self-conscious. I'm thinking it's me. This is our show.
Sure it's you.
Okay. Yeah. Go on.
You are better looking. You have head to toe unparalleled style. Jeans that fit just right, WordPress t-shirts, which are not too baggy or too tight.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't intend that to rhyme. Hair always meticulously combed back and in a way that resembles a gentle rolling ocean wave, which hasn't quite crested yet. A finely trimmed and maintained beard, which would be the envy of any GQ cover star. Glasses which denote an air of class and refined brilliance.
Go on.
Yeah. And it's mostly that positive, unstoppable, whimsical attitude which draws everyone to you like spam commenters to a vanilla WordPress site.
Huh. All right. And in the background, you hear Abigail making noise again.
Oh, she's so cute.
She is cute. That's the only reason why I allow this. Yeah. It's because she's adorable. The kid is really... I mean, she's like the fourth cutest baby I've ever seen.
Oh, gosh.
The first three? Mine.
Yeah. I knew that was the right way to like say, we're here.
Yeah, totally.
With Abigail on your doorstep.
That was great.
Yeah. Because you could have been having a bad morning.
Right. Boom.
And then I show up. Right. And like,
makes it worse.
Yeah.
I went from bad to crap.
Beep.
Okay. All right. So I think, are we good on, is that all you have as far as the options?
It is.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
That was the greatest question.
Greatest question
Thank
ever.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Yeah. All right. So segment, do we have a segment? We don't have a segment clip for this one, do we? Nope.
No.
Do you want to create one right now? Want me to give you a beat?
No.
Personal question.
All right. You ask yours first.
Okay. So this is the personal question, and Kyle has no idea what I'm about to ask him. Do you have any regrets on not going to a traditional school versus being homeschooled and missing out on certain things like prom?
Wow.
Yeah.
Regret. It's hard to call it a regret because
you don't have an.
I didn't have a choice.
Right.
Right. I suppose I could have pushed if I really wanted to. I could have said, I really want to go to school. But I didn't.
You didn't want to go to school or you didn't want to go to traditional school?
So there were times where I did. Intermittent times throughout my youth where I thought, gosh, that's not fair. Like when I was just a whiny teenager, I suppose.
Like 3 years ago.
Yeah. And I wanted to participate in sports.
Yeah.
That's probably the one... That at the time, maybe looking back, my opinion now is different, but at the time I was like, I really want to be in sports. All my friends are in sports and I'm not. Nobody in my family, no one in our circle of homeschool friends or cousins or anything, nobody that other than like neighbors and some of my public school friends had even the slightest care about sports. Still no one in my family even gives one hoot at all about sports of any kind.
But you're like big football. You're a big Green Bay Packers fan, so you're in.
I was the only one who cared about sports.
Interesting.
At all. My room was just covered, like obnoxiously decorated with sports posters. And I had like huge collections of basketball cards.
Interesting.
And all that stuff. I loved sports.
Okay.
But so, I was so very, very alone in that.
So you missed out on that aspect of traditional.
I did.
I'm curious real quick. What did your day-to-day look like? I'm a little sub question here. Did you wake up, have to like, you know, was there a bell in the house? Was there structure? Or was it more self-directed?
Mostly self-directed. I was the oldest.
Oh, so, that's right. You still are.
Yeah. My parents were more hands-on in the early years mm-hmm. when there were fewer of us. And we were just getting started with homeschooling. Because I went to school for the first couple of years.
Oh, okay. How many are there? Six of you?
There are seven of us.
Seven of you. Right.
Yeah. It was mostly self-directed.
Did you ever ask your mom and dad like what made them make that decision?
I don't know. I've heard her describe it in conversations with others. I've never asked it myself because I've just heard that conversation a few times. When we started, that was in like the early mid 90s. Mm-hmm. It wasn't as popular back then.
It's huge now.
Now it is really huge. Right. We had other friends who started when it was like, I don't know if there were laws restricting it or that it was illegal per se, but it was definitely extremely uncommon.
You know, and most of it was based on faith, religion based on curriculums. A lot of that,
right? Really,
especially
early days,
when I was a kid, you know, in the late 70s or 80s coming into school, it was very rare. And people would do it who were pretty extreme on that side of the faith. They just didn't want their children exposed to standard. What was typically being taught.
Sure.
You know, the lack of faith in schools because of that separation of church and state.
Mm-hmm.
But as we got older and as I got older, we consider it and we've still been open to it from our kids. You know, they've had some struggles here and there, but I mean, not struggles, just our kids, they do well in school, but they sometimes say, I don't want to go. Well, give us an option, you know?
Yeah.
So Ellen and I are not going to make the decision for you. We're open to helping. And early on, there was no way I had the patience to do what your mom did. There's not a chance. Because my kids are a little bit older, if there was an issue, if they really wanted to stay home and gave us an option for either a hybrid school, homeschool, something online, we would evaluate that.
Yeah. So yeah. I think it's interesting. Even now, I think like when I was younger, when we first got married almost 9 years ago, I thought I knew for sure when we're going to have kids soon and here's what we're going to do with them. Now, I don't know.
Right.
Abigail still has a few more years before we'll send her to
like five.
We'll do something.
Right.
And I am kind of like, I'll make up my mind then.
Yeah. It makes sense. Yeah.
I don't know what we're going to do.
Yeah. Okay.
But that's okay.
Cool.
I'm comfortable making the decision at the time.
Sounds good.
You ready for your question?
I am.
All right. Let me think of one.
Just kidding.
Wow. You have been parenting a lot longer than me.
Okay.
And I want to know, looking back, are there like major things, like big structural things, life choices, whether it be like where you lived or where you sent them to school or whether you decided to school them traditionally, public or private, or just not little things, but something big, or what career you decided to pursue with respect to like your ability to parent and be around for them? What are some of the big choices that you look back and you say, maybe it would have been better for them if I would have done this slightly differently? Some of the big ones.
Yeah. Nope.
Cool.
Everything I did was perfect.
So I should follow your template.
Yes. No. Okay. So the question is really,
I don't want to move to LA. No, I really don't.
Yeah. So things I would have done different possibly based on having kids when I did and where I did and where I was.
Just like to give them the best experience they possibly could have had.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. And
everything turned out okay, obviously. But are there the ones that you look back and sometimes you wonder?
Absolutely. I think, just thinking here for a second. First and foremost, the decision not to invest sooner, like in a 529, like a college fund, because Avalon goes to college in a year and a half, 2 years.
Big financial decision, sir.
So we don't have that. So we're looking at scholarships and grants, not loans per se. I'm not a big fan of student loans. So ideally, yeah, I mean, my dilemma is with all the ideas I've had in the past and all the things I pursued were with intention on providing for the family. Mm-hmm. I think having a better grasp of the bigger picture sooner. I mean, you're, I think, 14 years younger than me. let's go with that, 15 years younger.
Right.
You know, I wish I had spoken to somebody, seriously, you know, my age now, you know, the difference, because of having some of that stability, having those things kind of thought out, like having the bigger vision. I had no idea. I was just living in the moment. Honestly, a little bit on the selfish side, really pursuing being an entrepreneur, doing my own thing, pursuing some of the acting, modeling, stand-up stuff that I did. So those were gambles, you know, with that didn't pay in a sense. I mean, things have worked out. Things will work out. Still, it's not over, you know.
Yeah.
But I think having a better plan earlier in my life, like when we moved from California to Colorado, we were doing well in the sense of we sold a house. We had a bank account. I didn't have a business plan. I had a business, but no plan. And then 4 years later, that money was gone. Right.
Wow.
Right. So that wasn't the best situation to be in, and stressful. So, I mean, does that answer the question, I guess?
I think it does.
Yeah.
People tell me a lot, like, Abigail's adorable and she's small, and that they grow fast and treasure this and spend as much time with her as possible. Is that something like...
It is shocking how true that is.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard the same thing you did. So I was 30 when Avalon was born, and she's 17 now. And this past weekend, hanging out with you and Dustin and Melody and Ashley, but hanging out with, and also staying at Dustin's house, you know, with, Kenley and Kellen, I miss it in one aspect. I'm like, I'm glad I'm not there anymore. It's nice. Like I get to, my kids are older and bigger, but I came home. Parker gave me a hug. It's good to see the kids. I was gone for 5 days. You know, it's funny. People used to tell me who were 15 years old or so, it goes by fast. Enjoy it. You know, thinking to yourself, whatever. What do you know? Old guy, you know,
old guy,
you know, but it does go by really fast. And
did you spend as much time with them as you wanted?
I did. Well, let me rephrase. I mean, I did, and this is a whole separate episode of like therapy, but I did. I worked close to home. I did some travel for Apple, but I was around a lot. I was around a lot, but I wasn't present a lot. There's a difference.
That's important.
It is important. And, I don't think my kids realize, I mean, I feel more guilty on it. I think I was around enough for them. Mm. I don't think Ellen liked it.
Sure.
The disconnect I had when I parented, it's harsh to say, but I'll be honest. I'm going to be honest. When it was convenient for me, I was still focused so much on being successful. I think it's the key. I was pursuing video production work, photography, web.
Yeah.
So I was so focused on that I would participate. I would do stuff. Yes. But I would then disconnect. I would like leave and let Ellen take care of it. And that was I think looking back at it for me and for us as a couple, that was harder for her.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the truth.
Wow, a lot of truth.
That was a deep question.
It sure was.
Didn't see that coming this morning.
Sure was. Wow,
and there goes now. I'm gonna go have a cocktail. It's already, you know, it's 10:30 in the morning.
Yeah,
11 o'clock. Anyway, so I think that's it for this week.
Fun. That's a super fun question segment.
Yeah,
I enjoy that. No WordPress whatsoever in it. Maybe we lost all our listeners. I suppose that's possible.
I think we probably get more based on the truth and honesty.
Right. Yeah. People like that.
Yeah.
We are real on this show.
We are.
Both of us love actually interviewing people.
Yeah.
We really enjoy that. So I think like we kind of get on that track and just like have questions for each other.
Yeah. I'm going to go under my desk and cry now. You want to wrap us up?
Dear listener, we love you. We thank you for tuning in this far in the program and listening to us go on about our lives. We want to talk more about you in a future episode. This was a lot about us today. I got to say. Next episode, and all those that follow.
All about you.
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 You're the one that we care about. You're the one who has real problems that are just as serious or even more serious than ours. We want to try and help you with those. We have compassion for you. We care. We love you. Really. It's true. It's true. You, each and every one of you individually. And your problems are going to become our problems. And we're going to take them on. We're going to tackle them together as a team. Adam and I are going to do some research. We're going to put a lot of thought and meditation into this. We're going to go climb a mountain and just like sit and stew on these problems for days.
Kumbaya.
Yeah. We're going to get real serious about your problems. We're going to give you some advice on a future episode of this show. So don't miss a minute of it. You never know when we're going to tackle it. But first things first, before we can even do that, we need your questions. Send them to us. questions@getoptionspodcast.com is our email address. You can go to getoptionspodcast.com, leave us a voicemail, and we'll play your beautiful voice on a future episode of the show. You can go to our contact page and dump your questions into our contact form, and we'll be very pleased to receive them and take them extremely seriously.
Yes, sir.
Very seriously in a future episode.
All right. You can find us each online. Kyle's over at Mr. Kyle Maurer on Twitter. I'm over on, I'm on Twitter at Hey Adam Silver, and we are over at get_options. Say goodbye, Kyle.
Goodbye, Kyle.